I felt like I should speak right now because it followed on from everything God's doing. So we're just in one flow. Neil brought that word about from Song of Songs. We're his beloved. His banner over us is love. He desires us, yearns for us. And he is the way, as Kevin was saying, he's the way. And there is a, in his, on his table, there is, on his table, there is fare for everyone, for the young, for the old, for where you are at this moment. It's, we can feast. Part of that is this coming into that prophetic word that Faith brought. Coming into intimacy. You know, I came with this song that we're going to go into, and it was Build Your Kingdom Here, and it's kind of an upbeat thing. And then my friend walked in and just opened up the place where we were supposed to be, as it were. You know, no, we're not going to go into Build Your Church, Lord. We're going to come here and dwell here first. In this intimate place where we have fellowship and communion and union with him. And in that place of intimacy, where he wants to show us in a very rested place, in an armchair, this new room. And I know, you know, most of us know this way of walking with the Lord, and we call on the name of the Lord regular. You know, we wake up in him, we walk our days in and out of him, but in him, and then, you know, we end our days, thank you, Lord. And I know this church. I know that we are perhaps I can't say that. I know the people here, that they give themselves to walking in intimacy with the Lord. And yet, he says, there is more. Why does he put more into our hearts? Why does he say more? Because there is more. And it's more than we can ask of or imagine. You know, it is abundantly more than we can ask of or imagine. And he ministers out of this place of himself, which is so vast, so extensive, so huge. And yet, he is seeking to share that wellspring of wealth with us. So, he draws us by his Spirit into a new room, a new way of being with him. Feasting on him, partaking of him. And on one of my quiet times recently, I had been looking at a scripture that just came up in the Corinthians, where it talks about the supper that we have and the partaking of that supper, that communion with him. And it says, as often as you take this, remember me. And I got to thinking, you know, as you meditate on it, that this is as often as I do it. As often as you do this, remember me. And I got to thinking that I don't do it often. often has a frequency that is more than once a month to me. Often has a sense of frequency, of more. You're doing it very regularly. And I just felt the Lord say, I really want you to remember me. I want you to do this thing every time you gather together. I said, okay, Lord, we'll do that. We'll do that every Sunday. Every Sunday we're going to do this thing. He said, you could do it even more often than that, you know. You could do it even more often than that, every time you get together. So when the leaders get together, when the prayer meetings get together, when the mug gets together, when people come over to your home and you have visitors from the church and you're hanging out with them, so when we have Bible studies together, I want you to remember me. There's a new thing, of a new place of intimacy. So I felt the Lord, you know, you guys use these words. You use table in your word. You know, when you were praying, you talked about partaking and the feast. I think this is, we're in the flow of the Lord at the moment. This is a short word for me, so it's okay. You don't have to be worried. John 2, 1 says, let me find that. Kevin, it's good to see you. So good to have you amongst us. I want you to know that when people are not here, something changes in the dynamic. So I miss Loren this morning. I know she told me she wasn't coming, but I miss her. I miss Katie. She's not here. You know, yeah, I miss. And Kevin has been busy some Sundays, and it's like, I miss him. Miss what people bring in the spirit. So I don't want you to discount who you are. To this body or to the body of Christ, you're such a key to the full expression of what Jesus Christ wants to do. You're a part and a vital part. Such a vital part. And the Lord died because you were vital to him. Wow. John 2. Do you think if you put the pad on this, because it just seems to be peaking every time. If I stay like this, it'd be all right. But I don't know where I'm going to go, so it might get like that. Yeah, exactly, you know? Oh, it's Eleanor. Okay, so John 2, 1. Thanks, Jeremy. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." Mary asks for wine. Jesus talking about something else, as usual. And I got to thinking, Mary asks of Jesus, "Let's do the washing. Let's get the washing up done." He's thinking about, you know, the cleansing of the word upon his people. Let's let's do the practical. We need all the rubbish emptied. He's thinking of the removing of the sin of the world. They have no wine. He's thinking of the cup he will drink, of his blood that will flow for the sins of the world. He's at a wedding, and he's thinking of the joy set before him and the marriage supper, and the Holy Spirit is talking to him and sharing of the things to come as he's in this setting of a marriage. And he is quickened in his spirit, and she comes to him and says, we've run out of wine. But he's at the supper of the Lamb with his bride, and he is in eternity. And then she wakes him out of his place, and wine? Sweetheart, no, my hour hasn't come yet. We're not there yet. And she said, she can see, you know, because she knows her son, that he is moving on something else. Because she pondered and stored up a lot of the things that were being said. And so she'd been, you know, used to this boy. And here he is, close on 30, 33, going on that. He's about 30 there, isn't he? And he's talking about something else. And she turns to the waiters, the servants there and said, just do whatever he says. Because she moves in her own faith right there, I feel, knowing that it is possible he can do this practical thing. No problem. Jesus, however, was talking about something else. Sorry? Yeah, she's been seeing. She's seeing something. She knows. Sorry? She's been watching her boy. She has been watching her boy. She knows something about this boy, but he can do it. Just do whatever he says. Boy, that was a moment right there. My hour has not yet come. Let's go to Luke 22, 14 to 21. Luke 22, Nadia. When the hour had come, 22:14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, the cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. I have earnestly desired. Another translation says, with fervent desire, I have desired. I want to do this. For this is the hour for which I have come. To be the Passover lamb, to lay down my life for my bride, to wash her, to cleanse her, of all her unholiness with my blood, to clothe her, to put on pure white linen upon her, to crown her with joy, for her to be where I am. I fervently desire. I have fervently desired. There's something in this heart of Jesus Christ that we're yet to partake of. As often as you do this, remember me. Partake of me. For I have earnestly desired. To give you myself, to give you real drink and real food, me, my life, I want to give it to you. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy set before him. Again, that is a joy. That is a joy beyond all joys, because he's seeing suffering. I earnestly desire to drink and eat this with you before I suffer. So he sees the suffering. He's looking right at it. But the joy inside of him, the desire inside of him, power of that love inside of him. All the rebukes, all the scorn could not take from him the joy of saving you and me. He despised the shame. He considered nothing too vile to endure. I know, right? Who are we that he is mindful of us? What is man? What a savior, what a messiah. The love of my bridegroom for me. I am my beloved. Yes. Yes. And he is mine. Yeah. Wow. He counted nothing too horrid to bear on the behalf of you and me. So at that Last Supper, death is represented in this cup. And he drinks it down to the bitter end. He does the full measure. And yet joyfully he says, with deep desire, I have desired to eat this with you. I don't know, you know, I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm saying it so I get it. And yet I know it, this kind of love, it requires me being in a room, seated on his lap, day after day after day. It requires me eating and drinking of real food frequently, often. Yes. Yes. So I get it. Yes. So it's in remembrance of him. It's right in my face every single moment, so I get it. Yes. Yeah. They went about in the Acts church. They went from house to house, breaking bread. And there was great joy upon them. And many were added to their number because of this remembering, I think. Because they didn't, as James says, we look in a mirror and then we forget. They didn't do that. There's this constant remembering, this constant. And it doesn't have to be like a real formal thing. You go to a house for supper at somebody's home, and as you walk in, here is the body of Jesus broken for you. Hallelujah! We proclaim his death. Hallelujah! Here, drink of the wine. This is his blood poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah! We proclaim his death. And let's eat food, partake. Wow! Something about this. Something about what we are going to do. I really sense that God wants to do something in us as we often, frequently take part of the bread and the wine. I believe he wants to, we'll get there. I always run ahead of myself. For love is as strong as death. This is the love that my Jesus has for me. Oh, am I going? I gotta read it because I don't remember it. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol, hell. It flashes. Are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. Listen to this. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, there's this utterly despising thing again. So funny. How it takes such a long time to understand. The despising. I don't know why my brain has never seen this thing. Because I always believed the despising. It's like there was like a blockage inside of my head to understand that, excuse me. When he said he despised the shame, or like this lover, this bridegroom, despises wealth, riches, despises it. Love is greater than that. I don't know why I had never got that. I don't get it. Did you get it? Yeah. 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 Despising the shame, he's just saying, I don't care. I don't care how horrid, vile, traumatic, despairing, awful that trial and suffering is. I don't care. Love compels me. Love compels me. It's an amazing thing. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. 1 Corinthians. I forget where, but I'll find it. Verse 23 onwards. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Do this in remembrance of me. As often, as frequently as you do this, remember me. Proclaim my death. Proclaim my death. I got to thinking about proclamation. There was a sort of loud heralding, proclaiming. You know, there'd be trumpets that went before if you're going to do a proclamation. It's quite a loud expression. And a proclamation is something that is carried over and over. It's like a sound, a message that goes on and on. It's a longevity on this proclamation. Yeah? It's loud. It's a powerful thing and shifts and changes the way a community exists from the time of that proclamation that comes out. Yes. So something shifts and changes, and every time you proclaim my death, something goes on. We had the privilege of being in the YMCA on Thursday morning. We had started on this drinking and eating as often. Monday night, last Monday, when I shared it with the leaders that I think this is what we need to do. And then so we went to the YMCA and we broke bread in there. We had such a powerful time. We knew that just in the breaking of the bread, something's released right there. As we partook of the life flow, the life we're drinking, we are declaring four people knocking about in a gym. We're proclaiming the Lord reigns. We're proclaiming, and the power that is released over the YMCA in that moment for four people breaking bread. Something shifting. We're getting the understanding of the power we carry. We're getting an understanding that these simple things that God has invited us to partake of and walk in, his word is powerful. Powerful. Living. Active. Sharp. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me. Take, eat. Take, eat. Take, eat." So in that moment, while we were taking and eating, the whole of the YMCA is being touched by the power of the cross. Amen. Right there. And they don't know it. But we knew that in that moment. It just fell upon us as we did that. Now, I'm saying there will be revelations and revelations and revelations. Our eyes will be opened. Excuse me. Our eyes are going to be opened as we do this more often. There's going to be such a remembering. You go. There's going to be such a remembering. It's okay. Hallelujah. So, proclaiming, we may not do this in a loud way. The four of us in the YMCA, we weren't shouting at the top of our voices. So proclamation of what we have. Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshy. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So in the obedient embracing of the word, the Rhema word, and the Logos word, in that moment, word and spirit meet, something happens. And that is a proclamation. That YMCA will never be the same. Amen. Never be the same. And the working out of that proclamation in that place, because that's what we're doing. We're doing. When we proclaim his death, we're working out his salvation and the power of the cross every time. We're working it out. It's being ministered. Yes. Hallelujah. So, the more we remember, the more we remain in this intimate place in him. Yes. The more we remember, we remain in his passion. Lest we hokey-cokey. The more we remember and do this often, we remain in his desire, this passion, this love. We get it, this passion, this love. The more we remember and partake, we focus not on ourselves but on him. And I think that's the key. I think that's the key. In your face, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Something must happen because it takes off of me. Put it on him. I fix my eyes on the cross, on my perfecter and my finisher, the author and my finisher of my faith. Luke. 24, I think. I didn't write it down properly. Luke 24. I'm almost done. I need to change my glasses, I think. In and out of this. Okay, so is that it? Yeah. So this is the road to Emmaus. And interestingly, we were at something yesterday, a training for the YMCA, myself and Siobhan and John. And they read this out three times. Because we were learning the art of Lectio Divina. And we read this four times. I'm going to read it a fifth time. So here we are. Two men, they're going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. So while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And I do remember, I don't know where, but I know that this was not my revelation. I think it was yours, Thelma. And there is this sense of, why were their eyes prevented from seeing him? Because we don't want our eyes to be prevented from seeing him. No. But they were talking about stuff, and they didn't know where Jesus was, and there was a sense of disappointment upon them. Because they had wanted him to do something, and he hadn't done what they thought he had done. So there was, and now they're all sort of abandoned, and everybody's going in different ways, and you know, and so there's a sense of disappointment in them. And so disappointment can really, really cloud your vision. Really, really cloud your vision. So they were prevented from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stood still, looking sad, because they were in disappointment. They were in disappointment. And they're like, "Who are you? Like, you're the only person who doesn't know what's just gone on?" You know? So they say, one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" As if he doesn't know. And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things have happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and didn't find his body. They came saying that they'd also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as exactly as the women had said. But him, we can't find. We can't find him. We don't see him." And he said to them, "Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." I want to say to you, as we drink and eat often, I believe our slowness of heart will be healed. And we will believe all. We believe in a way that we've never believed. Yes. Unbelief will fall off.
Yes. Amen.
Are you believing?
Yes.
Yes. "Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" You see, Jesus, I did talk to you about this stuff. And you know, because you've grown up as men who have been trained in the law. You've heard the prophets and what they've talked about. And then I reiterated to you. And I told you that I've got to suffer. And, you know, I've got a kingdom, but it's not of this world. It's a different kingdom. I know we've had this conversation. But you didn't believe. "Then, beginning with Moses and with the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself. In all the scriptures," he unpacks it all, and they approach the village where they were going. And I really want to say there's going to be unpacking. God's going to unpack himself to us. We'll have revelation. Sorry? Of who he is, who he really is. Amen. Amen. "And when they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he was going to go further, they urged him, 'Oh, do stay with us, for it's getting toward the evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them," here we go.
Sitting in the armchair,
reclining. Yeah. Hello. New room. New room. Ha 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 ha. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong page. "He took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he then vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning
within us while he was speaking to us. It's like he's got this quality that we remember. When he's talking or packing those scriptures, yeah, it was like we were back in the day before the stuff happened. When we were hanging out with him and I was laying on his, I don't think it was him, when, you know, John was laying on his breast and we were just hanging out and he was talking to us and he would be telling us things and he was doing these mighty things. I felt it in my heart. I recognized it inside of me. My spirit was alive in a way that it was before. I want to say that your hearts are going to burn.
Yes, amen.
They're going to burn. Your hearts are going to burn with passion and love and desire and hunger. And you're going to be filled. And you're going to be sated as you partake. Ooh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he goes, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen. They've seen it. They believe it. They know it. We're going to see it, we're going to believe it, and we're going to know it. Hallelujah. The Lord has really risen. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized to them in the breaking of the bread. I want to say to you, we're in a place where God wants to unveil the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's a new word. The revelations of Jesus Christ is coming to us. I'm not going to read John 6, just the verses, John 6. It's just about the real food and the real drink. He is the bread. You know it well, but I'm going to ask Neil and Naomi if they will just facilitate the bread and the wine to us at this time. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for what you have shared with us this morning. I want to thank you for the words of revelation that are right here upon us as we begin to step into a new room with you, a new intimacy with you, a new fellowship with you, a new partaking of the incredible sacrifice that you went through for us. And I know we look on it as an incredible sacrifice, and it was, but it was something that you say over and over and over again, I longed to do this thing. I desired to do this thing. It was a joy set before me. And Lord, I pray for our eyes to be opened, that we might understand how much desire you have for us, how loved we are. Oh, Lord, the joy that is in your heart would overflow upon us. And we would be, our hearts inside of us would be burning, burning, burning with, whoa, God is here. He's here. He's right here. He's real. We're in a journey with him. And he's present to me and he's real. The eyes of my heart open, open. knowing him, seeing him. No more unbelief. Unpacked, because I believe, I know, but I recognize, Father, we believe, Lord, as we step into this new proclaiming of your death until you come, that you're going to do something upon us that is more than we could dream of or ask or think, because that's how you operate. You operate in the more and the abundant. And so we're saying yes to stepping into the abundant feasting at your table.
In Jesus' name, amen.